Well, I'll tell you, if you get out of the cities and you drive through rural Saskatchewan, which I was doing yesterday for a little bit in the afternoon, Harvest, if it's not going in your neck of the woods, it is right there. I drove by basically a farmyard where I could see the combine, the grain truck, both in the yard, absolutely getting prepped and ready. I saw some people moving grain. They had augers up to bin. They were clearly getting bin space ready. I mean, that is the time of year we are in right now. And personally, I find it to be a very exciting time. I look forward to getting home, helping with Harvest. Yes, I'm just a glorified truck driver for my brother, but it's one of my favorite times of the year. And it is definitely, if it's not in full swing, and I know in some of the south parts of the province, that's where we're seeing Harvest is going. We are not far away from Harvest happening. Okay, from outside the city to in, we on a monthly basis do a check-in with the mayors for both of the large cities in our province, both the City of Regina Mayor Chad Baczynski and the City of Saskatoon Mayor Cynthia Block. Unfortunately today, and I know this can happen from time to time, Mayor Block is unable to join us. We got a call, I believe it was yesterday at some point, to Libby, our executive producer of the show, saying something's come up, Mayor Block's not going to be able to join you. So we don't have Mayor Cynthia Block today from Saskatoon, but we do have, joining us in studio, the Mayor of Regina, Chad Baczynski. Mayor Baczynski, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Now, are you wishing, gosh, I wish I would have said I had a scheduling problem.
No, not at all. I love talking to you, Evan.
Okay, yeah, you're happy to come and take some
questions. Happy to come. Absolutely.
That's good. Well, I noticed yesterday shovels were in the ground, the symbolic sod turning for the new pool. Is this really 15 years in the making?
That's my understanding. From kind of the concept and the community planning aspect, for sure. It's been a long time coming. Extremely exciting that we have moved dirt. We're going to make it happen. And, I know that it's been, a challenge. We've seen massive cost escalations and this isn't unique to this particular facility. Even when I speak to the province, a lot of their projects, they've seen similar challenges when it comes to, and a lot of it comes down to, lack of resources. There's actually a lot being built right now. And so we're seeing, materials and labor disruptions where we're having some challenges there.
Okay, I'm gonna make a statement. You tell me if this is a fair statement or an unfair statement to make. The City of Regina administration need to do a better job of accurately reflecting or indicating project costs, because we're seeing in many cases, and the pool is one, the initial projection comes out and then literally within months, whoops. Millions more. Do we need the administration to do a better job?
I think there's two things I would say. One is I think we could do a better job in showing what class estimates mean. Like, I came from that world, and so that plus minus of dollar figures is a normal way of doing project management as you refine those estimates. So I think just a better education for folks to understand where are we at in terms of the accuracy of that. The other part of this is the timing. I mean, 15 years in the making, we've seen cost escalations. This people compared to the stadium, if we were to build the stadium today, it would be $1 billion. So to compare, like, we need to realize that the cost of building something today is substantially more than what it used to be.
So is there another part of this where it becomes a little more contentious for the public when it's a spend that some would deem not necessary? So if we have a huge infrastructure collapse of our plumbing and our waterworks in the city, and the city estimates this is going to be $215 million, and then find out a year later, oops, it's $300 million. But it needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Whereas a new pool, some will argue, this is a luxury that in this time we can't afford. Does that change it? Does that change the way in which you have to communicate with the public?
I think a big part of this is the public engagement that's been done. And the vast majority of people that have, given feedback through that public engagement process are still in favor of the pool. And yeah, the cost escalates. The reality is that if we wait, it's going to continue to escalate. That cost will grow. In terms of the need in the community, it fills a number of needs. We know the Lawson is coming to the end of life. I have personally experienced, as many others have, the challenges of trying to sign up for swimming lessons. So there's a community aspect there. It does give us a facility that, when people talk about things to do in Regina and, a lack of things to do, well, here's an example of one that is all year round, 12 months of the year, that you can go and have something to do with your family. It's exercise, it's life skills in terms of swimming, and it also gives us a facility that puts us on a national stage to bring competitions here.
Mayor Chad Baczynski is my guest, the mayor of Regina. I got a text from Paul, as you and I are talking here, wanting to know, are there going to be other leisure centers or other facilities in the city closed down once this one opens?
Not that I'm aware of. The only implication is that we are demolishing the Lawson Pool. The field house will stay. The Lawson Pool will be replaced by the new aquatic center,
which will be right close by.
Yeah, right next door, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about the heating of this, because that's garnered some attention, of course, not only right off the start, but even recently, the geothermal heating. Is this the right way to go? Is it adding significant increase? Was this done to try and look at it from the greenhouse gas effect versus the actual effectiveness of heating the pool? Can you give us the lay of the land there?
Yeah, there's a couple aspects to that. One is, you know, obviously from an environmental perspective, it is better from that, from a greenhouse gas emissions. But over the lifetime of that heating method, it is a cost savings in terms of the amount of fuel used compared to the longevity of the asset. So one of my colleagues said it really well. We're actually quite good at drilling holes, welding. Like, we have the trades and the skills locally to do these things. We're just doing it for a different reason. Instead of pumping up potash through brine or pumping up other resources from the ground, in this case, we're pumping up hot water.
We just recently saw the Regina Red Sox win the Western Canadian Baseball League Championship, which is a nice feather in the cap for Regina. I think it speaks to the health of the league, though. Mm-hmm. There's some great teams in this province. I did have the ability to take a game in Saskatoon. I sat in the stadium in Saskatoon, or the ballpark there. It's a nice ballpark. It's not perfect, but it's, I would suggest, nicer than what we've got Curry Field in Regina. We did get some calls from people saying, this is absolutely time for a new ballpark. Another not necessary spend, but what are your thoughts, and where do you think we're going to land on that?
Yeah, I think you're right. And first of all, congratulations to the Regina Red Sox. That's such an incredible season, and what a story to tell for Regina this year. Yeah, it would be incredible to have a new stadium, and I think there's some interest. And I think right now we've seen some news and some information about some positive news and investment, and I'm excited to see where that goes and the opportunity that provides. From the city's perspective, we need to make sure we're on top of enabling the capacity of land and otherwise to allow those opportunities to come forward publicly, and we can review them with the folks involved in those areas, businesses and otherwise, to make sure that if it's a right fit for a particular area. But it would be incredibly exciting to have that as a part of our city.
Mayor Chad Baczynski is the mayor of Regina, and he's in studio today. In fact, phone lines are open if you have a question that you would like to ask the mayor. The text line's open as well. I know I've got a couple of texts that have come through at 1-877-332-8255. We're happy to take your questions and move them along to the mayor. This is your monthly opportunity to do that. Okay, I want to talk about yesterday at the executive meeting. Multiple delegates shared their concerns about the city not being on track to meet its interim 2030 targets for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. I even saw a couple of, there were youth there. There was some emotion at the microphone. How do you deal with that as the leader of the city? Are you proud of where the city's at? Do we have work to do? How do you balance that?
Yeah, I think that's the word, is balance. And, we need to balance the needs of the entire community. We have an obligation to provide, services to residents while still, acknowledging, the greater impacts of the environment. And I think everybody agrees that we want to have a healthy environment and healthy planet for our kids to grow up in that. So it's a tricky balance. And I think it's important that we do have a platform for everybody to come and talk to council and give their perspective on where we're at and how they feel as a part of the community in terms of the progress that we have made. Obviously, there's things that we've completed, which is great. There's things that are on track, and there's things that we're behind on. And that's like any plan. And so what we need to do is continue to evaluate and reevaluate where that plan is at. And, you know, we have to be realistic that we've had a shift in the political environment at all levels of government and how they're perceiving, you know, different programs and that. And so that will shift where we put our focus on when it comes to the environment.
That's a very important point. And I want to stop there for a second because, like, explain that a little bit further, Mayor, because if you have a change in political ideology when it comes to even something like electric vehicles might mean you don't have the incentives. And if you don't have the incentives, it makes it tough for the city.
Absolutely. So, you know, yeah, that's a great example. So when we're talking about, you know, we had electric buses come up, right? We did buy electric buses. When we bought those electric buses, we had money from the federal government that essentially made the purchase of those buses the same cost as a diesel bus. And then on top of that, we reap the benefits of lower fuel costs, lower maintenance costs over time. If we don't have that, and actually the cost difference between a diesel bus and an electric bus has escalated quite a lot, almost two times as much, that, you know, now we have to look at what is the difference between a diesel bus, if we can buy twice as many, how many cars that potentially pulls off the road compared to an electric bus, half as many of them, mm-hmm. not emitting emissions, but not as many cars off the road. So there's an analysis that we have to continually do, even both from a cost and an emissions perspective, to make sure that we're getting the best value for tax dollars and the best value for emissions reduction.
Okay, we're going to take a break there, but some great points. Mayor Chad Baczynski is my guest, the mayor of Regina. Happy to take your questions, 1-877-332-8255. We'll be right back with the mayor here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. We are chatting this morning with the mayor of Regina, Chad Baczynski, joining me in studio. And as always, we open up the text line and the phone line for your questions at 1-877-332-8255. We talked a lot about the pool, and I thought, okay, I think we've covered most of the questions. Nope, there's a couple more that have come in. So here's one of them. Could we use Mosaic Stadium for baseball? So this is aside from the pool, but we were just talking about the possibility of a new ball stadium. Could Mosaic Stadium be used for that?
That's a great question. You know, I haven't really thought too much about that, but you know, that would be one probably for the you know, obviously the Red Sox or other minor league to look at. I don't know. It's an interesting concept. I guess I just don't know enough about the requirements and regulations around the field size and that. But it's great question. And I totally get the sentiment of using the stadium more and making sure that we get the best bang for a buck. And I know that I've heard a lot about that for sure.
Back to the pool. I have a question here. Kent from Regina. Is the city considering price preferences for Regina residents using the pool versus out of town or out of province residents who would come in for it? Probably a slippery slope, but your thoughts there?
Yeah. You know, nothing that I'm looking at or that I've heard, at the moment. I think one thing to acknowledge is that part of the pool, we did have an investment from the province. And so from that perspective, we did talk about how this benefits Regina as well as, kind of the regional area around us. So, nothing right now that I know of or see really. And I guess we just need to acknowledge that we did get and are thankful for the investment that the province gave us.
Was there a federal investment as well?
Yeah, for sure. So if folks from other provinces, I guess, want to come to the pool, we'd welcome that too. In that same regard.
What does that breakdown look like, Mayor, in terms of percentage? How much is borne by the city, the province, and the feds?
Yeah, I believe we're in the 100, we bear the majority of it as a city, I believe. I know we do. I think there was, I think there was a split. I think the province had the next kind of highest split around 40 million, 42 million. And then the federal government in addition to that. So I think we're in the 180, like somewhere around that $180 million for us between the pool and the geothermal.
Mayor Chad Baczynski is my guest. Back in June, I remember there was an encampment site near Carmichael Outreach. Regina police were called out at the request of the property owner to clear the homeless encampment out. You did a bit of media around that event, and I remember you saying, we need help. We need help from the province. We need help from different levels of government. Where are we at with that? Because, I mean, I hate to say it, but fall is right around the corner, which means this will ramp up. This will become a broader discussion as we get closer to wintertime. Where are we at with that sort of outside the city help on the issue of homelessness?
Yeah. And first I'll say, like, the city, you know, we've been doing a lot of work engaging with a lot of the local community in terms of coordination. So what, like, let's make sure we're set up to coordinate with the services that we have today as best we can to help people get to a safe place. You know, that's what we immediately have access to. In terms of other levels, you know, speaking to the province, I know we're going to be meeting with Minister Terry Jensen right away here to talk more about what are some of the options. And really, we need space. We need space for people to go. We need those supportive housing spaces to be able to get people into a safe place where they have access to the services that they need. And so that's going to be the conversation. So I don't have any commitments yet. What my approach is going to be, and we're working on right now, is to try and package where we know there's space currently available. So we're not trying to build new, and because we don't have time, as you mentioned. Where is there space currently available? Who are operators that could step in to help? And I want to take packages to the province and say, here's something that, you know, we believe with, you know, between the city and other organizations that would help get people to a safe place. You know, does this work? Mm-hmm. And so really just try and deliver, and not, you know, I don't want to come from a place of, you know, saying this is what we don't have. I want to come from a place of here's an opportunity, here's an option to try and help people and see if we can partner and move quickly on some of these things to get people to a safe place.
On that note, I see a text here from Dustin pointing out the fact that that permanent emergency shelter on Halifax is open now, correct?
Yep.
Has that made, what's the experience been? Has that made a difference?
The challenge there is, I mean, it's great. We have a permanent space. It's no longer a temporary space. So we have some stability there. But the reality is it's the same volume that we had before. It didn't increase our capacity. We just moved from a temporary space to a permanent space. So it's a good thing that we have the permanent facility. But ultimately we still need more space for people.
Right. Okay. 1-877-332-8255 is the number. I know we've got a couple more texts that I want to get to, and Jeff, who just called in, we're still about, well, I'll tell you what, let's take this call really quick. I'm going to throw Jeff on the line. Jeff from Regina, thanks for calling. What's your question for Mayor Bushinsky?
Morning, Evan. I sent you a picture. If you could show that to Mr. Bushinsky there. He was just talking about housing. Well, there's a unit sitting on the corner of 5th and Angus that the city shut down.
Is that the North Central Family Center initiative?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, so my understanding, so you're wanting to know what the deal is with that, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Why aren't they continuing with that?
Sure.
I understand there's some cost overruns and stuff there, but I'd like to hear from Mayor Chad as to why it's they're not continuing on with that.
Great question, because I know the city has a role to play. Can you quickly give us the summary there?
For sure. Yeah, no, it's a great question, Jeff. So the city's role in that was really we were the kind of the pass through of the funding that the North Central Family Center received to build that. So the contract is between like North Central Family Center and the contractor there. My understanding is there, you know, there may be, if there's funding challenges there, the city isn't funding that project specifically. But that being said, the city is absolutely in support of them completing that work and anything that we can do. And I know we've been in contact with them from the city to help them advocate to make sure that whatever resources they need, we will advocate for them.
So, but it wasn't the city that shut that down?
No.
So it's a funding issue, because I know I'm very involved and really support the North Central Family Center as well. And I know they're continuing to do fundraising, a capital campaign, if you will, to try and get to the completion of that project.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to see it get done.
Okay, we're going to take another break. Mayor Chad Bushinsky is here for a little bit more. If you have a question, phone and text lines are open for you here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. Evan Bray joined by Mayor Chad Bushinsky, the mayor of Regina. It is our regular monthly check-in with the mayor. I want to get to construction, because there's a number of people that are asking questions. But during the break, you just did some digging here to get the actual numbers, because we were talking about the breakdown, the actual cost of the pool and the breakdown, because you've got provincial and federal help with that. What have you got?
Yeah, I just want to make sure we had the numbers right for everybody. So total cost, including geothermal, $313 million. $93.85 million is the total that we're getting back from provincial and federal funding. So that includes both part of the geothermal, which is $14.6 million, and $79.2 million for the facility itself. So just to make sure we got the numbers right, we're getting nearly $100 million back from the provincial and federal governments.
Speaking of the federal government, something you and I don't think you and I have even actually ever talked about, the Housing Accelerator Fund. Mm. It was something that I talked with your predecessor, Mayor Masters, about. Saskatoon, it's been a bigger issue. We haven't heard too much turmoil in Regina. Where are things at with that? Are we still receiving some funding through that and taking advantage of that program?
Yeah, we are. And it's really about, you know, strategically applying that funding where we can, you know, put a infill housing for or densification or that. So, yeah, last update I got was we were on track in terms of our initiatives that I believe are all posted on Regina.ca website. And so, yeah, we're still actively applying that funding as we go forward.
Okay. I want to jump into construction because, as we know, with the beautiful summer comes a couple of pesty things, one being mosquitoes, which to this point have been quite good. I don't know if the city deserves props. Can you take credit for the low mosquitoes this year?
I mean, I think the weather played some role, but I will give a massive props to our Parks and Rec guys and girls over there. Like, they're awesome and they do a lot of work. I was just over there, met with a bunch of those folks, and they do a lot of work to try and help us keep those pests away.
Fogging the water spaces and ditches and things like that. Okay, but let's talk about construction. Construction is one of those necessary evils that we deal with every year. It seems like this year there's a couple of huge projects. Am I wrong?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Absolutely. We've got, you know, the biggest ones, most visible ones are obviously downtown 11th Avenue and Dewdney. Right. Those are massive.
Now, I noticed this morning, actually just coming into work, 11th Avenue seems to be a little bit better. So we're able to cross in different areas. That was an infrastructure upgrade, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, both below ground and above ground. And below ground, we were replacing pipes as old as 1913. So, I mean, you know, we were finding old railway ties under the ground. So a massive upgrade to make sure that we have, one, we don't have a catastrophic, unexpected failure. So proactive is much better than reactive. And also to build capacity. So as the downtown does grow, we have the capacity to grow with it.
Dewdney Avenue has been ripped up for a long time. I know even some of the businesses along Dewdney advertising on this radio station, talking about inconveniently located on Dewdney Avenue. You know, Bushwhackers ran a campaign just to try and remind people, hey, you can still come in the back way and we'd love to have you. Where are we at with that construction? Because that was a pretty big project.
Yeah, it's coming along very well. You know, if you come in and look from the Broad Street side, you can actually see the vision of what it's going to look like when it's all done, and it's looking absolutely fantastic. And you know, just a huge thank you to the businesses working alongside our city folks and our construction crews there to try and make arrangements where we need to. I know there's been inconveniences like water having to be shut off as we do the work in that, and you know, it's very challenging, and you know, my hope is that, you know, the businesses will be able to benefit from this you know, in a huge way going forward.
Was that work done because of decayed and dilapidated infrastructure, or done because of the work that is going to be pumped into the yards and that area, hopefully in terms of growth and advancement?
Yes.
Both?
Both. So yeah, it'll do both of those things for sure.
Okay. 1-877-332-8255. Mayor Chad Baczynski is here, the mayor of Regina. I did see a text to this question earlier, and I will ask it myself. When we talk about construction, I remember when you were running for election, you said there's things that I think we can improve on, and one is the way in which we handle construction projects. We need to be working around the clock. I'm guessing there were a couple of hiccups that maybe stand in the way, like contracts of city employees and those types of things. But were you able to make some headway there? Have you seen, have we moved the needle on how quickly we're able to get some of these projects done?
For sure. So it was great when I first came in, we were able to negotiate for both 11th Avenue and Dewdney to get extended days and extended hours. So we see on days, we'll see 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Construction. We'll see some sometimes we'll be working 6 days a week. So we've been able to extend those hours. And so people see that work happening when they're coming to and from work. Also, the North Albert Street bridge work, that was also, we did some overnight work there. So we actually did, we've made some headway. Mm-hmm. To your point, there are existing contracts that were in place that, you know, had assumed certain work hours and certain work days. But going forward, my intention is to keep pushing on that to see where possible. And again, we have noise bylaws and things like that. So where possible, let's try and get more work done, effectively, quickly, so people can enjoy the work that's done.
Mm-hmm. Chad Bushinsky is my guest. 1-877-332-8255. I mentioned back to your campaign when you were running for election, infrastructure was one of the pieces you talked about. You also talked about public safety and overall affordability. If you look at those three things, infrastructure, public safety, affordability, generally give yourself a report card. And I realize you're just one person, but have you and the rest of council been able to move the needle? Are you moving in a direction that's going to show positive change in those three areas?
Yeah, infrastructure wise, I'm feeling more confident. I think, again, there's more work to be done in terms of both construction coordination, which I know we're making headway on. There's a new construction map to help navigate when we do have construction. And then, like we talked about, the timing, public safety. I know we're moving the needle. We're getting good feedback, especially from some of the downtown safety initiatives, the alternative response officers. We've gotten some pretty significantly positive feedback around the perception of safety downtown, the visibility, working directly with businesses, the areas that they feel they need support in. So that's been very positive. Affordability is a challenge across Canada, and that's probably the biggest challenge right now that we face with rising costs of building things, building our infrastructure. So trying to find that balance of affordability, but not lagging behind in proactive construction is a tough one.
So on the affordability front, we're a couple of months away from likely hearing some budget numbers.
Yep.
Where are we at? Do you have a sense of, are we looking at a modest rate increase? Where do you put things going forward?
Yeah, I don't have anything yet. I think early September, though, we've changed the budget process. So we will get more of a financial update, kind of a status quo, kind of a look in September. And then from there, that'll be our chance for council. So what we've done is we've changed it so we can actually consume the information over a period of time, have more time to, look at potential adjustments in that. So, it just gives us more time to be a little more agile in the way that we approach budget and give us more flexibility as we work through it. So we should know more and be able to share more, and we will share more in September when we have a week worth of financial updates.
Lots of different questions on the text line. I've been trying to weave them throughout our conversation. Jim from Regina, would you please ask the mayor about a dog in car or in vehicle bylaw, such as what Saskatoon has? I've seen several dogs in vehicles in the last couple of days in this brutal heat. We have no bylaw right now. I'm guessing there is, I can't even think back to my career. If we received calls on those, they were probably few and far between, but is that something that you've ever addressed?
No, from my understanding, I think the text is correct. I don't think we have anything currently. So
still doesn't mean authorities wouldn't be able to go out and rescue
that's
the animal,
exactly.
Right? If there was reported,
yeah,
they would have the authority to go out and do that. And I know in the past, in situations like that, we would probably work very closely with the Humane Society, which
correct.
Has some provincial powers when it comes to writing under legislative statutes. They can write some different tickets for neglect and those types of things. So I think more than it's a city, and I'm sorry, I'm jumping in on your answer.
No, go ahead.
My understanding would be is it would likely involve the Humane Society in enacting some provincial legislation there.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yep. I asked you, speaking of comparing bylaws between Saskatoon and Regina, they recently made a change to bear spray and how bear spray is sold in the city. It's still probably too soon to tell whether or not it's making a difference. Is that something that you've been lobbied for or even considering?
I wouldn't say lobbied for, but it's something that we are monitoring. So obviously we want to see if that's an effective tool. Then that's something that obviously we would work with RPS on and see if that's something that would benefit our community as well. Again, we want to be very calculated and data driven in everything we do, but it's absolutely something we're aware and monitoring. And if it makes sense, we would look to do something similar.
Okay. I'm going to try and squeeze in a couple more texts before we run out of time. Our mayor is joining us, Mayor Chad Bushinsky from the city of Regina. Back to construction, Doug from Regina, how many years is it going to be before McCarthy Boulevard is finally fixed with no more construction?
Yeah, that's, and I know exactly the project there. We have, we have some wastewater projects that are going on there, and critically important projects. I think if memory serves me correct, I think we have another year after this where there will be still some work to be done. But what we're doing is we have to run pipes there to make sure we have the proper capacity for the west end of the city for our water and wastewater network. So, yeah, totally understand. That's a main artery. Lots of challenges there. But these are very much generational infrastructure projects we need in order to be able to grow our city.
Okay, I'm going to try and squeeze in a couple more questions. Here's one from Joe in Regina. Can we ask the mayor why there seems to be still so much semi-traffic in the city when the bypass was intended to redirect this?
Interesting question. I guess we're never going to get rid of semis completely. They still need to be in and out and around the city in terms of having to deliver products in the city. I guess I don't have the data specifically on that, but we're never going to get rid of it completely. So, I guess part of that would be making sure that we have the right truck routes and that we're directing when semis do need to come into the city, directing them around the right way.
So there's a question here from Dave in Regina. I'm summarizing, but a lot of people are wanting to, when we're squeezed for funding, we're trying to do what we can to limit the increase in the tax rate, for example. So that's why the pool becomes a big topic of conversation. Mm-hmm. People are pointing at the city manager's position, the police chief's position, a recent lawsuit that was announced from two former city people who were let go from the city. So I know you and I have talked about this before, but it's one of those issues that is on people's minds. It keeps coming up on the text line. What can be done to mitigate some of these payout costs, which obviously ultimately fall on the shoulders of taxpayers?
Yeah, and I totally understand the sentiment and the concerns around that. And ultimately, I mean, when you say what can be done around payouts and that, I mean, when there is a payout of severance or otherwise, that's all contractual. That's all, that is the tail end of a decision. Any decision that's made, I mean, I can tell you from my perspective, any decision I make or vote on or otherwise is trying to do it in the best interests of the city and how we move the city forward in a positive way, considering all the factors like you just mentioned. So it's not ideal. Obviously, these aren't situations that that we plan to be in, but we have to address them when they happen.
No update on the chief of police yet?
No update yet. Again, it's in the provincial complaints commission hands, and we respect their process. The minute that we get an update, I'll probably be here to talk to you.
I know I asked you last time, will we hear before the end of the year? And I think your answer was, God, I hope so.
We're
still thinking the timeline might be this fall.
Yeah, but I'm really hoping so. I mean, I don't have a guarantee or anything, but I do hope so. I mean, for everybody's sake involved in the process, I really hope we can, again, just come to a conclusion on some of these things.
I'm summarizing a couple of texts that come in, but what is the biggest thing you hear, the biggest concern you hear from citizens on your day-to-day travels?
I think it really comes down to, I would say affordability is a huge one. That's why, we came into a very challenging budget. And then on top of that, we had an assessment year for property assessment. And so I think that affordability piece is pretty big. And so, for me, it's really, we need to take a very calculated look to make sure that our growth is sustainable to the financial model of the services we deliver.
It's a balance for sure. Before I let you go, I love Regina Day happening on Saturday, correct?
Yes.
What's this going to be all about?
Yeah, super exciting. Free event for everybody to come out to Victoria Park. It'll start with the I Love Regina Day run, I think about 8:30. I'll be running in it with my family. And then after that, we'll have a bunch of activities. We'll have a free barbecue. There'll be activities for kids. There'll be live local music. It'll be a fantastic time. And I'm really knocking on wood that the weather's going to look as good as it's looking to be this Saturday.
I think the weather does look like it's going to cooperate. This happens Victoria Park, correct?
Yep.
And people
yep.
can go on regina.ca.
Yep, absolutely. And they can see all the details and see the map of all the activities that they can enjoy.
Good stuff. Mayor Bushinsky, always appreciate you coming by. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks again to Regina's Mayor Chad Bushinsky, who joined me live in studio. It's a monthly check-in we do with the mayors of both Saskatoon and Regina. Saskatoon's Mayor Cynthia Block not able to join us today. Mayor Bashinsky was, and thank you to everyone that texted in. We got as many of your texts on and through and with the questions for the mayor that we could. Often I will forward some of the other questions to the mayor just so that he has a chance to see some of the things that are coming in, the questions that get put forward, even if we don't have a chance to get to them on the air. So thank you for your contributions there. Okay, someone said I should be giving a spoiler alert coming up at 11:30. We're going to give you an update from Amazing Race Canada. So if you're a person that watches Amazing Race Canada, this week's episode, by the way, aired, I think, a couple of days ago, maybe three now. So if you've still recorded it and you haven't watched it, be aware at 11:30, we're going to give you some information that could spoil what you've got recorded. That conversation is coming up next at 11:30. At 11 o'clock, just after the break, we've got the author of a new book talking about struggles with mental health, with addiction, and coming from a career, a profession you might not expect. That conversation is next here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.